last shall see. It will be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. Everybody sing now. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Oh, sing it.
Father, we come to You this morning thanking You for Your marvelous love, thanking You because You took our sorrows and made them Your very own. You carry our burdens. Lord, You showed Your love by going to the cross in my place. Lord, I don't know anybody that loves me that much except You. Lord, I just pray. Lord, today let us sense Your presence here. Lord, let people be open to the moving of Your Spirit. Let Your Word go out and accomplish what You've sent it forth to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning, to have another opportunity to worship the living Lord and Savior Jesus. We're so glad that you're here today. As I get started today, I want to kind of come back to something from a few weeks ago as a way of introduction to today's sermon. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you about my struggle with depression and anxiety. I want to, first of all, give you an update on things and praise. One of the things we've struggled with that is getting the diabetes in hand because we fought insurance to get medication approved and finding a medicine that doesn't affect the mood. Well, praise the Lord, they finally approved a medicine that works. But I shared with you that depression and anxiety can come from three different places. The first place that we know is circumstances. All of us know what it's like to have a circumstance that really kind of brings us down. It can range from anything from our job to our children to our spouse to things happening with our parents to any number of circumstances. The other place is medical and biological. And the third place is that sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes you're in the midst of a battle. And so I've been dealing with the situation in all three areas. Doing to the doctors, taking care of things there. But I believe the Scripture helps us to deal with the other two areas. And so I want to tell you, I can't tell you what you should do with your doctor. If you suffer with depression or anxiety, go to your doctor. But here today, I want to address some of the problems on the other side that I can help you with, that help in my life, and I've seen it help in others. You know, part of anxiety and depression can come sometimes because we have to look at who or what we're depending on. And so today, that's what we're going to look at in Matthew 6, 19 through 34. We're going to look at who or what we're depending on and look at what Jesus taught when it comes to things that cause anxiety here. Let's start by reading our scripture together, starting in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They were neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, as we begin to look at this passage, Jesus gives us some warnings and gives us some ways to be able to deal with some things. First of all, when we look at this, Jesus warned about trying to find security in the wrong places. When we look at those first two verses where he says, don't lay up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where moth or rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When we begin to look at that, what we're looking at is really where we look for our security. A lot of people think, well, if I just have enough money, that'll make me secure. You know what? That doesn't do it. If you look back through American history, you go back to the stock market crash of 1929, there were a whole lot of people that had a whole lot of money, and then all of a sudden they didn't have any money. You see, what he's saying is that anything that you can gain here on earth to place your security in can go away easier than it came. You may be looking and you say, well, my security is in my job. I've got a job and I've worked in this place for so many years and I make a good living there. But in today's climate, how many businesses change? How many businesses move? How many businesses close? There are a lot of people that are sitting here, if you're older, that may have worked for a number of years with one company. But statistics tell us today that a person in the working age is likely to have several jobs before the end of their working career. It's not like it used to be. When we look around us, sometimes we say, oh, if I can just find the right person to marry. If I find the right person to marry, Dick, don't laugh so hard. If I just find the right person to marry, I'm going to find security in being with that person. But I want you to understand, if you look for security in someone else, they're going to fail you, because here's a secret you may not know. That person that you're marrying, yeah, they've got insecurities too. They're sinful and broken just like you're sinful and broken. And so if you're depending on them, you're both in trouble. In particular, when he talked about laying up our treasure, he talks about money in this passage, but I want you to know a person's treasure may not necessarily be money. It can be any of those things that we talked about and probably a host more of other things. He says, but anything that you lay up here on this earth can be lost. You say, security is my home is paid for. Home can burn in an evening, in just a few hours. The security is what I've got invested. Man, investments can go bad and money can go away. If you had any money in retirement in the last few weeks, you've seen it go down because of some things that the stock market's done. When we look around us, he says, but lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, the things that you value and find security in the most, they're going to be the things that take the place of highest priority in your heart. It's not about what you say your number one priority is. It's about what your actions reveal that your number one priority is. And so when we begin to look at that and we begin to think about that, ask yourself this question. What thing happening in your life would you absolutely be the most afraid of other than dying? What's the most important thing to you that you would find to be catastrophic, that you would just be broken if it folded or it went away tomorrow? Odds are that's where your treasure is. Larry Burkett used to talk on finances before he passed away, and Larry Burkett said, give me just a little bit of time with a man's checkbook and I can tell you where his heart's at. Where do we spend our money? Where do we put our resources? What do we invest in? Because the two things that we have that will tell the tale are where we spend our money and where we spend our time. Doesn't matter what you say, those two things reveal what the real priorities are. Because what is a priority, people make time for and find the money for. So he says, lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he goes on and he tells us something else that we need to watch. He said, Jesus taught that whatever holds your focus will rule your life. Whatever holds your focus will rule your life. When we look in verses 22 and 24, through 24, it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Do you know what the number one cause of divorce is? Financial problems. That can really be a difficult thing. So, do you recognize your money as something God provides to meet your needs, or do you look at your money as something that you need to have security and you need to have everything that you want? Not necessarily that you need. Are you willing to trust God with that? When we look at this, we have to ask ourselves the question, not only about our time, not only about our money that's spent, but our focus. What do we look at the most? If you right now didn't have to get up and go to work, you didn't have to worry about anything else, if you could do just what you wanted to do, what would be the thing that you would do? Where's your focus at? Would that be on spending more time serving the Lord? Would that be on finding ways to be able to serve in the kingdom? Or would your time all be concerned with serving self? That's a hard question to ask, isn't it? You know, we live in a culture where that we talk about retirement and we look at that more and more, and it's been said people work all their lives at jobs that they can't stand just so they can get to the day that they can finally quit it. And you've got these dreams of what you'll do with that. I want to tell you, being a pastor, it's really not that way for me, and I hope that you could work in your life so it's not that way for you. You see, I can never envision a time that if I've got health that I wouldn't stand in a pulpit and preach, whether it's as the pastor or an interim pastor or serving in some capacity, volunteering. When I think about retirement, for me, it's just an opportunity to serve the Lord in a freer way. Not getting away from something that I hate. Or getting just to become inactive. But getting to serve in a greater capacity. When we continue looking at this, you can understand that Jesus taught that trying to find your security by focusing on the wrong things produces anxiety and worry, and that accomplishes nothing. When we look at verse 27, he says, "And which of you, by being anxious or worrying, can add a single hour to the span of his life?" You know, this is one of the things that as I began to reflect in my life and I began to talk and look at Scripture and deal with the other areas that I talked about, depression and anxiety, I realized I had spent a lot more time lately worrying about things than I had praying about things. Can I just tell you that's a combination for failure? Because when you worry, the anxiety creeps up. I can't speak authoritatively, but I think I can speak pretty confidently. There probably is not one person sitting in this place that doesn't have something that they worry about. Would you say that's accurate? And some people sitting here have some things that significantly worry them. So let's ask the question. Do you accomplish anything by worrying about it? How much of a difference does the time that you spend worrying about something make? And what I realized is, it's really counterproductive. It does nothing to usually help the situation, but in the process, instead of building you up, it also tears you down and what you're looking at. And so one of the things that I began to look at as I began to examine, ask the Lord, help me in the areas where I need to adjust priorities, to adjust time, and Lord, to trust you enough to, instead of worrying about something when something comes to my mind, take the time to pray about it. Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks, and by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known to God." So Paul, speaking to the church at Philippi, told them, he said, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything." You know what? We really have to train ourselves to do that, because that's not just a natural human response to everything. We have to train ourselves to be able to go in prayer rather than go worry or be anxious about something. And so maybe you're here today and something's been weighting you down, and you've felt like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you've been trying to carry it. You've been trying to worry your way out of it, but as you worry your way through it, you find out it feels like the hole's just getting deeper. Even if it's not getting deeper, day by day it looks deeper. It looks bigger. You ever been there? He goes on and he helps us to understand there's a prescription. There's a prescription for what we need to do. You see, as we look at this, he says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do you catch the prescription here? He says, don't worry about these things. And he goes to the very basic things. You know, I've shared with y'all before, one of the problems that I have in life, especially being a diabetic, is I really like to eat. Anybody else like that? I mean, this is a Baptist church. So much to the point sometimes that I would even become angry if I couldn't get what I wanted to eat. But you know, the simple fact of the matter is, in my life, I've been blessed to a point that I've never really known what real hunger was because I couldn't get to food or have food. There are a lot of people that don't have it that easy. They don't have that luxury. And what are we going to wear? My wife says, I don't worry about what I wear. She says, I'd come dressed like anything if I had the chance. She used to complain when I drove a truck because I wore black blue jeans and black T-shirts because on the back of the trucks where we worked with the lifts, you'd get grease on you. So the grease didn't show up, you know. So I walk in somewhere and I don't look so bad. But she said, why do you wear it even when you're not wearing it? I said, it's because what I got. You know, I'm really not that fashion conscious. But I understand sometimes that that is something that people are really focused on. Where shall we live? You know what? On two occasions, I've been homeless. Once because of losing a job and once because of a hurricane. And I can tell you in both instances, God provided. It may not have always been the Hilton, but it was a roof over my head and over my family's head and a place to stay. But then we could take this conversation and we could stretch it out and we could go so many different directions. What are the things that you are worried about that you can't control? What are they? You say, I've always been able to do for myself because I'm healthy. Listen, in a moment, your health can change. Things can happen. So that life, it feels like it's turned upside down, and sometimes indeed it is turned upside down. And so here's the thing. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. But further back in the passage, he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. In other words, there's not one thing you need that God doesn't already know that you need. Have you ever thought about this? When you go to God in prayer with a need, you're not informing Him about the need. You're coming to Him exercising faith because you're bringing the need to Him. He already knows what the need is. He knows whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, where it's material. And what happens is that often He holds things back until He's going to see if we're going to look to Him or if we're going to try to handle it by ourselves. I want to share with you that God's timing to us sometimes looks slow. But my experience has been when you really look at things that it's usually just right on time. In the process of dealing with things over the last few weeks, God's made some provisions that came about in a very unusual way. You see, we're getting better insurance because somebody called Lisa to offer her a job when she wasn't looking. But that's not even the most odd of it. Let me tell you how it happened. I broke a tooth back in 2002 while at a fishing tournament having lunch with a dentist. Now, if that's not irony, I'll tell you about it. We were down at Fouchon, Louisiana, and I got an oyster pourvoy and I found a pearl. Well, you know, that tooth really hasn't bothered me, so I never really had anything done to it until a few weeks ago. Probably now a couple of months ago. And I went to the dentist. I just called a few people, asked about a dentist, and ultimately, I guess this will be Wade Street's doing. Wade said, I go to Dr. Abide. I love Dr. Abide. And you may have another dentist, but this isn't about that. I'm not trying to promote their dental service, okay? But then I go in for the appointment, and I don't even get to see Dr. Abide. I see Dr. Duncan. He's Dr. Abide's cousin, by the way. And so we go in, and he looks at what he's got to do, and he starts giving me those shots to numb everything up. And you know, it takes a little bit of time, and I want to make sure it's numb. So he just sat down on the stool with me, and man, we started talking. And not like I've ever talked with any of my other doctors. I mean, we started talking about gun smoke and family and remodeling houses and what have you. And in the conversation, I told him my wife was a counselor. He said, well, my wife is a counselor too. I said, well, my wife's working to get her hours for her licensure, and she's been a little bit discouraged because it's not been going very fast. He said, my wife might be able to help with that. Now, you know how those kind of conversations go. You have people say something like that in passing, and you really don't expect anything to come out of that. And a few weeks passed. But I guess 3 weeks back, Lisa got a phone call from a man she didn't know. He says, ma'am, I really hope we're not violating any HIPAA laws. He said, but your husband went to the dentist, and while talking to the dentist, he found out that your wife, that you were a counselor, and his wife works with me, and so we got your phone number from him. I had given him permission. I had given him our phone number. So he didn't violate anything. So when we got off the phone, you know, that was, what, Wednesday? Thursday, something like that. Was it that Friday or the next Friday you went? 2 days later, she was at work. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that sounds like a God thing to me. It was so far off of my radar. Before it happened. But God already knew the need that I had with my depression and my anxiety and the problems that were there. He already knew. And He had already set things in motion. Listen, think about that. Breaking a tooth in 2002, waiting 16 years to go get something do it, winding up in the chair of a dentist whose wife works in the same field as you work in. Then in a casual conversation that you're pretty sure nothing's going to come out of. I'm not saying that I think folks are bad things. Folks just say things in passing in conversation. And then look at it today. You know what? That was all completely off of my radar, but I don't think it took God by surprise at any point or any time. What about you? He said he already knows what we need. He already knows. But he said, let your first priority be seeking my kingdom. And in seeking my kingdom first, all these things will be added to you. Do you hear that? He knows what you need, and he says, if you'll be faithful to trust my faithfulness, what you need, I will take care of. So I've been really trying to retrain myself not to worry but to pray. Whenever I get concerned about something, it's time to pray. Because Paul said to bring all, to come to the Lord, be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks and bring our prayer and our supplications. That's supplication. That means our needs. Don't forget to be thankful, though. So many times we bring our needs to God, but when God answers, we forget to say thank you. We forget to praise Him. And so when we look at this today, Jesus urged His followers to show trust in God's faithfulness by seeking His kingdom first. You know, it really doesn't matter what the need is. The answer is, put God first. When you put God first, God will come through in your life. I'll close with the story of R.G. Letourneau. Anybody here ever heard of R.G. Letourneau? His life story is written in a book called Movers of Mountains and Men. As a career, a professional, Letourneau designed heavy earth-moving equipment. Some of the designs and patents that he come up with are some of the heavy equipment that's still used today, even though he's been long gone. But Letourneau, when he became a Christian, he told God that he would put him first. And he told God, he said, Lord, if you'll let my business do well, I'll live off the tithe and I'll give you the 90%. And his business did prosper. But let me tell you, Letourneau became a speaker that was much in demand. He traveled extensively, going to places and speaking about the Lord and preaching. And he said he made a commitment that he would never turn down an opportunity to go and share with somebody about the Lord. He made that commitment to the Lord. And he said it was amazing to him how that he would have a design team working on a piece of equipment that they had to figure out how to build, because he was the kind of guy that they didn't tell him what they wanted. They told him, we want a machine that does this. Figure it out. Build it for us. He said, we would have something that we'd been working on that had eluded us. And he said, we would be up against the deadline and I'd have a speaking engagement. And I'd say, am I going to keep my word to the Lord, or am I going to stay at the design table? He said, I'd go and I'd speak. And he said, without fail, when I would come back in those situations, he said, I'd look down at the design table and the things that eluded me all of a sudden made sense and unfolded, and I was able to draw it out shortly after being faithful to what I'd promised God. God is faithful. In whatever we're dealing with, whether it's the depression and anxiety, and if that's the case, like I say, don't forget your medical professionals too, because it's not a question of either or, it's a question of both and. But whatever's going on in your life, and re-engage, when we talk about re-engage on Sunday nights, focusing on your marriage. So many times when there's marriage problems, what the spouse wants to do is fix the spouse. But what re-engage teaches us to do is focus on yourself. Focus on the one person that's in a circle when you draw the circle around yourself. Let God be first in your life and look at what God will do in other areas with your spouse and other areas. Maybe your job. You may have a job that you're not happy with. But you know what? Honor the Lord as long as you're there doing that job and see what God does. Do the best of your ability. If you want to think about that, think about Joseph in the Old Testament. How that when he was a slave, he did, the Lord blessed what he was doing. I'm going to tell you probably, you know, it's a pretty safe bet if you would agree with me on this, that Joseph's first case of vocation was not being a slave. That wasn't where he intended to be. That was not working out the way he had envisioned. But he said, I'm going to serve my master faithfully. And the Bible says the Lord blessed everything that he did. And in that situation, he got elevated in his job till he was over everything. Even then, when something happened there where Potiphar's wife lied on him, he got put in jail. And man, I won't tell you, he could have been doing the mully grubbing. He could have been complaining because here I am, I'm trying to do right, Lord, and I wind up in jail. I wind up in a place like this. God, you've forsaken me. No, the Bible says that he did everything that he could to the point that God blessed that, and he became the chief trustee over the prison. And then in one move, God brought him from the depths of the dungeon to being the second highest in command in Egypt when Egypt was a world power. If you will, one of the second most powerful men in the world. But he sought to do what God wanted first. You see, if we're worried about self-promotion, self-preservation, and all of that stuff is where we focus on and try to work with, we're not really trusting the Lord. So one of the things that I've been doing in these last few weeks is asking the Lord to help me. Help me to take away my dependence and thoughts of security from anything else but Him. He is the only real source of security. Nothing you can have here. Anything that you build up here, anything that you have here, one day when you die, guess what's going to happen with it? Somebody else is going to get it. Doesn't matter how hard you worked for you or how long it took you to get it. In an instant, somebody else is going to have it. That may even make you mad to think about that. May cause you to go out and get one of those tags to go on your car that says, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. But it's a simple truth. You'll not be able to carry it with you. And whatever security you thought you may have had through it, it won't save you from death. And it won't save you from having to stand before the Lord and give an account. So let me ask you this morning as we come to our time of invitation. What or who are you depending on? Are you willing to give it a try God's way? Are you willing to say, Lord, help me to change my focus? Help me to learn not to worry but to pray. Trusting you with what needs to happen. What about it, will you? That's the challenge that I've given to myself in these last few weeks. But I don't figure I'm the only person battling that demon. I figure there are more of you out there. The question is, will you admit it or will you stay trapped? Will you let the Lord set you free? Or will you stay caught in the trap? Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be here. Lord, we realize that today there's not a person sitting in this place today that has a need that you don't already know about. And Lord, I come and I pray that today would be the day that they would surrender that need to you. And instead of worrying, Lord, that this would be a day where they would come and they would bring it to you, Father. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?